Good morning. We are pleased to see this many out this morning to study God's Word. And don't believe the rumor going around, I'm going to preach all week. I don't plan to do that. I know the outline I've been passed out or in the back. Looks a little scary, a little long, but sometimes they're only 15, 20 minutes. So now I've seen others that have two, three words and they'll last for maybe an hour. So I don't know sure quite how this will go. Brother Rader had this on the internet and I picked it up because I thought it might do us some good. Job the 14th chapter, verse 1. Says, man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Life has its problems at all times. New American Standard and the New King James Version has full of turmoil. There's problems in our everyday life that we face. And sometimes we hear people, why me, Lord? Why me? Why do I have to face this at times? We need to understand that problems come in a variety of packages. Sin is the first and the greatest problem. Sometimes we're a problem. Myself. I'm so egotistical that sometimes I create my own problems. Sometimes we think about ourselves so much that we bring problems upon ourselves. Family problems, marriage. Sometimes we have trouble with the kids. They don't listen or pay attention or behave themselves as we would or respect to them. Sometimes we suffer sickness. Those who come down with cancer, heart attacks. Those who have been involved in automobile accidents. Sometimes we have a close death within our family. We keep asking ourselves, why me? Why me, Lord? Why am I suffering? Sometimes we have financial problems. The way it is now at work, I sometimes ask why. But there are problems. And sometimes we at our jobs, we ask, why does somebody else work so good and sometimes I don't? What's the problem? And then there's church problems. There's divisions. Sometimes there's indifference by those individuals. And we always have that tendency that every time life gives us a raw deal or a bad deal, we say, why me, Lord? What have I done to deserve this? Why did God let this happen to me? Why am I being punished? What did I do wrong? But at the same time, we seldom ask the questions when things are going good. Why not me? Why me when we receive good things? You ever think about that? We're so quick to turn on God, ask why, when things are going bad, but when things are going good, do you ever ask, why me? Why has the good things happened to me? Why have I done right that these things happen? Hardly ever hear somebody say that. Very few people will say, why me, when things are heading their way. And there are three things, three points we want to try to notice this morning real quick. Why? The reason for the problems. Me, one who suffers the problem. The Lord. Trying to blame God. In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 17. Adam and Eve was in the garden. And they commit a sin. In second chapter of Genesis, in verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall not eat. For in that day ye shall eat of it, ye shall surely die. And then we can go into the third chapter where they were in this garden. And the serpent came upon them and says, I know what God told you, but thou shalt not surely die. And as they partook of that fruit, wherever it was, they committed sin. They disobeyed God. They were chased out of the garden. There was a curse put upon the serpent. There was a curse put upon the woman in verse 16. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And the same thing happened to Adam. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. But thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat herbs of the field, and in the sweat of your face ye shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken. For dust ye are, and to dust ye shall return. Death came into being. All because they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Also in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and beginning in verse 22, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. In verse 22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. There's a reason for these sickness, the pains, the aches, the suffering, the death that goes on in this world. Likewise, in the 55th chapter verse of the same chapter, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God and gave us glory, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can overcome these things. But because of Adam and Eve and their sin in the Garden of Eden, curse put upon all mankind. Sometimes we have problems because of consequences of our own sin. Please turn with me to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's manner. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Consequences of our own sin. It says, don't suffer as what? A murderer? A thief? Those who rob other people, they deserve to be punished for what they have done. They deserve a punishment if they break the laws of the land. We got one woman that is crying the blue because she got to go to jail because she broke her probation. She's trying every way she can to get out. And because she thinks she got a little bit of money, she thinks she can buy herself out. She's finding out the law of the land, if it's fulfilled according to the law, as it should be, no respect of a person, she suffered for what she did. And that's the same way with us if we commit murder or thievery. If we're an evildoer, or if we're a busybody, if we're causing problems and sticking our nose in places where it should be, we will have problems. Proverbs. 13th chapter, and verse 15 talks about the way of an evildoer, way of a transgressor. It's hard. In chapter 13, and verse 15, good understanding gains favor, but in the way of the unfaithful, it's hard. People sometimes make our life more difficult because we're not obedient to God's law, God's rule. And we need to learn that we need to follow after God, and if we do His will, we won't suffer half the consequences that other people outside the church gets involved in. Galatians 6 chapter, verses 7 through 9. Talks about how what we reap, we sow. Ever know anybody that lives that wildlife outside, one of your neighbors or good friends? You see the problems that they have? You ever notice? They usually have marital problems, they usually have problems with their kids, they usually have financial problems. They got more problems than what I like to try to deal with. Sometimes I think I got more problems than others, but when I look around, I see the problems that they get involved in and the difficulties. Because of their lifestyle, what they sow, I find out I have my life a lot easier. Sometimes we just don't pay attention to other people's problems and what comes involved when they get themselves involved in sins. Consequences of other sins. Exodus, the 20th chapter. As the children of Israel was coming out of Egypt, they had a difficulty where they were not in accordance to God's law. In the 20th chapter, verses 5 and 6, as he gave to them the Ten Commandments, he says, "Ye shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of your fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." Sometimes if we become disobedient to God's law, sometimes our children suffer because of what we've done. Have you ever seen the fact that people get involved in sexual activities and AIDS becomes a problem, and sometimes it's passed on to the children because of what they've done? God said, if you reject me, if you're not obedient to me, it might be your third or fourth generation that might still be suffering because you're disobedient. Look what happened to the Roman government. We consider that one of the more powerful nations in the latest lifetime. Used to be considered strong and indivisible. No country at that time could defeat the Roman Empire. But because of their own sin, their children suffered down throughout the years. They lost everything. England, when we came first over here to America, was a powerful country. It was known at that time, if I remember my history correct, how they phrased it, it's been a few years, the sun never set on England. And what they were saying, England's power or authority was all over the world at that time. Their influence was all over the world. They had colonies placed all over the world. They were there. They were a powerful nation at one time. But because of their iniquity of their parents, their children still suffered to some degree. They lost that power, that authority, their strength. Let's go on. For the cause of Christ, we may sometimes suffer. And 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. And we read this verse a little while ago, verse 16. "Yet if anybody suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner." It's a good thing if we're suffering as a Christian. We're trying to do what's right. We're suffering for the sake of God, that we can help lead others to Him before it's eternally too late for their soul. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. As Paul writes to Timothy, he states one fact. In the 3rd chapter, verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." We will suffer. If we're doing what God wants us to do, we're going to suffer for His sake. Maybe not as much as these Christians were at this time. Maybe we're just being mocked at or laughed at by our friends, ridiculed to some degree down at work. because we won't involve ourselves in certain activities. But there may be a time within this country we may suffer as these Christians did. May be put to death because we believe in God's Word. Because we're trying to do what God asks us to do. Wants us to do. And if we love God enough, we're willing to suffer these persecutions as we should. Violation of natural laws. Gravity is a good law until you fall down. Then it becomes a bad law. Down at work the other day, we was having a major breakdown. I was pulling the paper up. And Pete got wrapped up in the paper. And Pete flew out from underneath me. And I went straight down like I was sitting in a chair straight out and sat and landed. I looked around real quick to make sure nobody's seeing me because I knew I wouldn't live it down for a while. But nobody seen me and I got up real slow. I was hurting. Gravity pulled me down. Because my mistake, got myself caught up in that paper, gravity helped pull me down to the ground. Sometimes if you're up in an airplane, that could be a big problem. Especially when the motor goes out. I hope it never happens to anybody, but it does happen once in a great while. Gravity pulls the plane down. Laws that were set up, natural law. Good. Because it wasn't for gravity, we wouldn't be able to control where we're heading or we'd be floating around. We couldn't sit anything down unless we tacked it down real hard with nails and wood or whatever we had to do. But at the same time, it's been set forth. And if we disobey that law, we suffer for it at times. Fire. Oh, it's good to cook. Especially when you get out there on the grill and you got the nice big flame going. Don't take long for the hamburgers and hot dogs. But at the same time, you burn the hair off your arm or... If my son tried to do the other day, he turned the gas on, stuck the lighter in, and let the gas up too high and singed his hairs on his face a little bit. Don't want to do that. It hurts. But using his proper sense, it can be good. Can't have good out there without something sometimes going bad. It's possible to have a good marriage, but sometimes it's possible that it gets a little rocky. It gets a little bad. It stumbles. Sometimes it's possible that we feel good. But there's other days we're going to feel bad. It's natural. It's natural phenomena. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, lightning, floods. All natural occurrences. And everybody suffers because of these natural occurrences. And then we got the free will of man. Man can make choices, but sometimes we make the wrong choices. Otherwise, we'd be like robots to God. God gave us freedom to think, to decide. Choice means consequences. If it's financial, maybe I want to invest my money in a certain stock. It could be good. Then again, I may lose everything I got. My choice. I decide what I want to invest in. There's other choices. Maybe I want green carpet and now bought the living room, it just don't match. Then I got to suffer the consequences because I got to live in it. Whatever. Choices. Some simple, some major. There's times that we do make mistakes, blunders. Sometimes we sin by the choices we make. And them choices will bring grief and suffering upon us. Second part of that statement, me. One who suffered. 1 Peter fourth chapter, and begin at verse 15. All men suffer. But that none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matter, yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on his behalf. Those who do evil, they're punished for what they've done. But we also suffer as Christians. So all men suffer sometime within our lifestyle. Paul wrote in the Church of Rome, in Romans 8, that all creation moans. Verse 22, and we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth, pain together until now. Everything suffers. Everything has a problem. It's just not me. It's everyone. And sometimes we forget that fact because we're so dwelled up on ourselves that we forget others suffer too. Maybe others are going through the same problems that I'm going through. Maybe some a little bit worse. I need to be there for them. But we all suffer. Sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I'm suffering so much. Why me? How can them people live like they do and not have problems? No. They have problems. Sometimes you don't see them all. Sometimes we're so busy and involved in ourselves, we don't know that they had the problem. Maybe they talk to us. We just let it float in one ear and out the other. But we all suffer. The righteous suffer too. Job is a good example of a righteous man. Let's look at some of the verses in Job. Job 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on earth. A blameless and upright man. One who feared God and shunned evil. Job ended up suffering. Verse 14. The messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. But when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the serpents with an edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. He lost property. Same thing in verse 16 and 17. He lost his servants in verse 15 and verse 18. Verse 18, he said, why are you still speaking? Another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people. They are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Now here's a man that's righteous, blameless in the sight of God. Lost his property. He's lost his servants. He's lost his children. Lost his health in Job's second chapter, verses 1 through 10. He had boils all over his body. Ever have one? Years ago since I had one. Probably about 9 or 10 years old, I had one. My grandmother got out of her place staying the weekend, and she noticed it and tried to take care of it. And you talk about, I can remember a little bit of the pain. Through time, it escapes you. But it does hurt. Hurts. Real bad. And this man had boils all over his body. Yet he didn't do anything wrong. He suffered as a righteous man. Wife was no help in Job's second chapter, verse 9. She said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Turn your back to God. Even his friends turn on him in chapter 3 and all the way through chapter 42 and verse 6. They turn on him. They turn their back. exhaust all his friends. David was a friend of God. Man righteous after God's own heart. Man, Psalms, the 55th chapter. David wrote a letter, a psalm. And it began in verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint. Moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, I have wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I have wandered far off and remained in the wilderness. I have hastened my escape in the stormy winds and tempests. David prayed to God, give me wings. Give me a way to escape these problems. Everybody hates me. All my friends have turned away from me. Give me a way to escape. Christ suffered. He was rejected in John 1:11. He was beaten in Matthew 26 and verse 67. I'm not going to go into this too much detail because of what Tim has taught upon the last 2 or 3 weeks. But think about it. The suffering, the pain, the agony. He was ridiculed. He spat upon. He was betrayed by Judas, his friend, one of his apostles. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 47 through 53. He was crucified. No worse thing that could happen in them days than to have somebody nailed upon that cross. The pain and the suffering that this man went through for us. He did no sin. Did no wrong. Paul talks about being in harm's way. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. We'll read verses 22 and 23 real quick. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor, more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prison, more frequently. In death, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and a day have been in the deep. Journeys off, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting off, and cold and nakedness. Besides other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern upon all the churches. All these problems come upon Paul because he taught the gospel, because he is an apostle. But yet the only thing he thought about was whether or not the church of Corinth, at Philippi, Galatia, and the others that he wrote to, was trying to do what was right. He had them in mind. He prayed for them. The only thing he asked God to do is in 2 Corinthians 12 chapter verses 7 through 10, he asked to be had a thorn removed from his flesh. We don't realize, we don't know what that thorn was. Maybe all this punishment. He did have trouble with eyesight. Maybe there was other things that we don't know of that he went through and suffered that gave him physical health problems that we don't know of. But he asked God to have that taken away. But at the same time, his problems kept him humble in the sight of God. And he used it pretty good. All Christians. Hebrews 12 chapter, verse 6. We are scourged because we are the Son of God. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 12. All who live godly will suffer for the sake of Christ. And lastly, we want to look briefly, real quick, at the Lord. Why me, Lord? We like to blame God. God doesn't want anything bad for man. 2 Peter 3 and 10 talks about He wants all to be saved. He sent His Son down here to die up on the cross that we can all have salvation. Gave His only Son, John 3, verse 16. So God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. But why do people blame God? Well, they try to equate problems with punishment for sin. This is an old misconception. We got examples of men trying to do it even in the time of Christ. John the 9th chapter, verse 1. When the disciples of God or Christ seen the blind man, they thought it was due to his sin or because of the sins of their parents. When we talk about natural laws, some things happen that we just don't understand why, but it happens naturally. And there are some children that are born blind. It's not because of what I've done. Not always because of what my parents have done. It happens. It's natural. One of these things happens once in a while. Acts the 28th chapter, verse 4, Paul was trying to be taken to Rome to face before Caesar. As he was shipwrecked, a snake came out of fire and bit Paul. The man says, "See, there's a murderer." God died. God is going to punish him. What happened? Paul didn't die. He's an example to that man that he was of God. Job 3rd chapter, beginning verse 1, you can read the whole chapter. Job's friends thought he had done wrong. What do you do? Sometimes we had that thought in our minds today. Because something goes wrong in our life, we think we have done something wrong. Not always the case. Suffering is not due to sometimes our own sin. Luke 13 chapter, verses 1 through 5. We sometimes suffer wrongfully because of what others have done. Sometimes we have too high of an opinion of ourselves, of our own righteousness. Seeing in questions, why do I deserve this? Why me? Suggests that things we have lived in a way that we deserve much better. Selfish. Focus upon ourselves. If others suffer, that's fine. But don't, it's not me. Sometimes we like to blame God because it likes to remove guilt. As dealing with others, we sometimes like to point a finger of blame. Sometimes we like to feel less guilty of ourselves. Blame somebody. Ever see a child? Especially when you got three or four of them together. Somebody broke a window. You see fingers going everywhere. And sometimes you just got to take, like the boys were growing up, you just got to take all three in there, line them up, and do a questioning like a police officer would down there when they arrest somebody. Interrogation until we get the right answer or they're all being punished. Same thing down work, on a job. Something goes wrong, I see more finger pointing about whose fault it was. when somebody stands up and says, I did it, they're shocked. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to act. Sometimes it catches them off guard and they scratch their head and got to walk away and try to figure out what to do. But the others, they like the finger point. Well, it wasn't because so-and-so that I wouldn't have the problems I have over here. Sometimes we just like to blame God and we try to remove all the guilt from ourselves. Conclusion of the whole crux of the matter is all men do suffer, even righteous people. And we need to learn that. And sometimes the causes are buried. It's not because maybe what I've done, maybe somebody else done something. And created a problem for me. Maybe I did create a sin, and I'm suffering for that sin because I was disobedient to God. Maybe it was natural. Maybe I suffer because it was an occurrence that happens in everybody's lives, one time or another, a fire in the home, a flood, hurricane. I found it really laughable in some degree when I know people suffered down in New Orleans and down along the coast, but there's all type of theories about who's to blame for why that hurricane came through. God's fault. He's blamed. He's punishing. I can't make that statement. There's been hurricanes all through that coastline for years, up and down our east coast. Are you going to say that Ivan punished us because the sins we'd done about 3 or 4 years ago when we had all that rain, all the mudslides we had around here? Didn't hear people say that time. Maybe they did suffer because they sinned. I'm not going to make that decision. That's between them and God. They'll answer for what they've done. But at the same time, we got to realize nature takes its course. And after all these years New Orleans has been down there, somewhere along the line, one of them hurricanes had to hit over that city. Their odds was going against them. I've always been told that if you drive up and down the highway so many times, the odds are you're going to have an accident somewhere along that highway. The more you travel, greater chance of having an accident. And it's true. It's a natural cause. How do we blame God? Do we blame God for everything? Do we always say, why me, God? We shouldn't. But I know every one of us, to some extent, have. We don't really mean it at times. Sometimes we do get discouraged. Sometimes we do get disappointed. And sometimes we just throw up our hands because we've got so many problems hitting us from all different directions at one time, and we say, why me? Why me, God? Well, it's not God. We need to quit blaming God. We need to wake up and try to realize what the problem might be and then work on it. Work on it hard. If you're not a Christian, we plead with you to hear His Word, to believe that Christ came and lived upon this earth, died for you and for me, died for all mankind. Repent. Be willing to change your life. Confess Christ before mouth confession, that He confess us before His Father and His angels. Be baptized by immersion, buried with Him in a watered grave, raise up a new creature, then we must live a faithful life unto death to receive heaven as our home. There may be one here this morning that has fallen away from God by an unfaithful. Please do something about it. Come up. We'll go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of your sin. Your decision. Your soul. You think about these things and as we stand, sing the song, Invitation.